Once more, I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and it's a delight to be able to share with you some of the nuggets of truth from the Word of God. And I would like to continue our thinking about the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus. What I like about the Lord Jesus is there's always something new and fresh to learn from him and from his word. We look at the word of God and we know in whom we have believed, and we are persuaded that he is able to keep that which we commit to him against that day. But we need to be a little more open and direct and understanding of what Jesus is saying. If you go to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, you read in verse 10 that Jesus is talking about the abundant life. Now, we've discussed this abundant life singularly in the past, but once more I would like to bring to you thoughts about it. You see, so many Christians are just not living an abundant life. They live a life and they are saved and they are going to heaven because they have put their trust in the Lord Jesus and know him as their Savior. And yet there's a lack, there's defeat, and there's a great deal of upset in the hearts of men and women today that are Christian. We seem to have one foot in the theology of Christianity, and the other foot seems to be still in the world. We include law and mix it up with grace and say that's Christianity. It is not. Christianity is full of grace, and the law has been done away with, and we are alive in Jesus, just as Jesus was alive and then crucified and died, so we are crucified with him and die with him. And as he was raised from the dead, and there should be a great shout of hallelujah about that, so are we raised from the dead. And we live a life that is raised from the dead. So it means that there is a complete turnaround of the things that we have been saying and doing, some of the things that we have been concocting in our hearts and minds that are not right. They are dealt with and dealt with completely. So now, Lord, we ask that you will bless us with this abandonment of the world and the reception of the power of your Spirit. Let me put it to you this way. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they have it more abundantly. As John 10:10, the only way into eternal life is through faith in Christ as our personal Savior. And that's from John 3:15. Do not stop here. Don't just stop with your life here. To have eternal life is great, but there's so much more. Christ came that you might have life more abundantly. All believers have life, but not all have abundant life. You're living beneath you and beneath your privilege in Christ if you are a believer and not enjoying abundant life. Life that is abundant must have abundant resources, and the only unlimited source of life is in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We read that in John 14 and verse 6. To possess this fuller life, the believer must abide in him. The dynamic of life is there. Abundant living is not for just a few. It is God's norm for all believers. It is spiritual life in depth, Without it, the Christian life becomes sort of meaningless. If you do not have abundant life within you, you will soon yield to the carnal, fleshy life around you. You read for yourself 1 Corinthians 3 and verses 1 through 4. The carnal life is circumstance controlled, and the abundant life is Holy Spirit controlled. The carnal Christian life leads to defeat, and the abundant life leads to victory in Christ. Man seems to know everything about life except how to live it abundantly. From this moment on, determine not to be satisfied with anything less than God's very best for you, which is abundant life, or living life abundantly. I've been accused of not growing up, of being a sort of Peter Pan. That's not true at all, but I've had my ups and my downs, my disappointments and defeats. I've had wonderful revelation and help from God, the Holy Spirit. So I sort of know what I'm talking about. The abundant life is a yielded life, a life that is yielded to the Lord Jesus. We find it written for us quite clearly in Romans in the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. For in that Jesus died, he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. There's a separation. The separation must be recognized. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are? And he goes on to talk about living for Jesus. Are you prepared to bring all of your faculties and place them in the front of the Lord Jesus and say quite simply, here am I, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee? But he ends that chapter with a very well-known scripture: the wages, the results of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Very important to understand that scripture and to go into it in depth, which we're not going to do because of the time factor. We who love the Lord Jesus are complete in the Lord Jesus. We are in him. Well, now, if we are in him, we have to discover some things. The abundant life is a yielded life. Again, Romans 6 and verse 10 through 13. It's a yielded life. We yield our life unto God. We don't satisfy the desires of the flesh. We don't do what we think we want to do and in the past have done. But now we want to be filled with the Spirit, and we yield to the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. Are you yielding your body and life to him? The next thing I would point out to you, the abundant life is a sort of service to him. Again, we go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and unblameable, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't stand in the gutter when you can stand on the pavement. Don't stand where all the rubbish and water gather from the rain. Stand where you're safe, on the pavement, higher than the gutter. So many Christians think, oh dear, I'm now a Christian, I've got to be poor. Oh dear, and now I'm a Christian, I've got to show that I'm a poverty-stricken person, that I can't cope with my bills, that I can't cope with my life, I can't cope with anything. That is foolishness. And we need to get right with God, and we need to put things right with God, and we need to understand that this abundant life does not allow for failure and defeat. There's no need for you to be defeated, none at all. For as you come out of the water of baptism into the newness of life that Jesus has given you, so you have life in Christ. And it's very important that you understand this, and it's important that you come close to the Lord Jesus and yield your body and yield your mind and yield your heart. It's only recently that I came across some books, and in the books that were given to me, part of a set of the writings of Winston Churchill. And I had always thought that was like sorting through a dusty companion book. I got into it and I started reading it and I couldn't put it down. And it was fabulous. And I realized that there were so many likenesses in the background and in the extent of life that I have had. And I was thrilled to bits to know that this man, even though he was a drinker, was a man who trusted God. It's just a remarkable thing. I know for a fact there was a Captain May, I think his name was, who was a Christian, and he was giving his testimony at Keswick Convention one time, and he had been the companion and first man behind Field Marshal Lord Montgomery. And for all the tattiness of Montgomery's life, it was a very organized life. And it was a very controlled life. It was a life of prayer. And he said one day he went into the caravan where Montgomery was praying. He had forgotten that he was praying. And he walked in, and here is Montgomery in tears and just praying that this next battle would be successful, not too many casualties and so on. And he was privy to the word that Montgomery was using. Montgomery was yielding his life. He was a cantankerous man on the surface, but underneath he was full of the love of Jesus Christ the Lord. And it amazes some people to realize that some of the champions we have that have done for the world peace and for world unity, these men were Christians. They loved the Lord and yielded their person to Christ. So this abundant life goes on into a life of service. And I would share that with you. I also want to share with you that this abundant life is More than that, it is also a life of separation. Now, this is up to you to separate your life. It's not up to God to separate it for you. But it is up to you to say, I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. And it is necessary for you to come to that place where you understand. Just to give you an example, you don't have to swear. You don't have to drink. You don't have to act foolishly. You don't have to be an argumentative creature. You can just be a person that says yes and no. Jesus said, let your word be yes and no. Don't mess around. If you go into the first chapter of Romans, verses 1 and 3 are very important on this subject of separation. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of the David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. Now, holiness simply means a separation, and we need to be able to be separated unto God. If you are a Christian, you separate yourself. You make sure that there are things that you're not involved in. You're separated to God, and you're going to maintain that abundant life in the separation. The abundant life is also a spirit-filled life. And Ephesians 5 and verses 18 and 20 tell us more about this. I would hope that you can follow these Bible readings, because if you do, you will quickly discover the power of the Word of God. You can bring your life to a place where you yield yourself to the Spirit of God, and you yield yourself therefore to Jesus, and you yield to God Almighty, because you yield to the Lord Jesus, his only begotten Son. These are stepping stones to coming to a life that is abundant. God will fill your life if you'll open your heart. Be careful now, because if you open your heart and you have not the Spirit of Christ, evil spirits will enter in, and you will be worse off than when you first started this exercise. But my dear friend, if you will only come closer to the Lord Jesus, he will not allow that influence to come back into your life, and he will not allow it to take up root in your life. The spirit-filled life is an abundant life, a life worth living. Christians sometimes say, well, I'm defeated, I'm just about finished, and this sort of thing, and they use expressions that they need never to use. But Christians need to be the people that come close to the Lord Jesus and live in that close proximity to him, so that they are talking and walking in the things of God. The separated life needs to be the life that is spirit-filled. So each day you go before the Lord in prayer and ask him to fill your life this day. Give us this day our daily bread. We don't ask for 2 tons of bread and then chew our way through it. We ask for today. Jesus said, think of the day in which you live and ask him for enough to take you through the day, and he will. Then it is a life which is mature. 2 Peter and 3:18 tells us this, that we need to have a mature life. It's not a silly life. It's not a foolish life. It's not a wishful thinking life. It's mature. We love the Lord. And that love for the Lord Jesus supersedes all other loves. There's an old hymn, Love Divine, all loves excelling. Joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, evermore thy mercies crown. This is a great hymn, and it's based on the scriptures, and it's a great hymn that reveals to us some of the presence of Jesus. Now, when you read in the book of Psalms, he put a song in my mouth. These songs should be there, and you should always have a song to sing for Jesus, and praise will come out of your lips, so that every day and every moment of your singing will bring special power and prayer, and will bring you into a special relationship with the one of whom you sing. And you will know for sure in whom you have believed, and for sure that he is able to keep whatever it is that you've committed to him against that day, the day when Jesus shall call us up out of the dead tombs and out of the deadness of life and out of the deadness of our experience. He will call us, and we shall return to him. Now, this is a challenge, and it's a massive challenge. The abundant life is a spirit-filled life, and the abundant life is mature. How do you get a mature life? Well, I will tell you bluntly. You read the Word of God daily. If you do not read the Word of God daily, don't expect to ever mature. If you don't study the Word of God, don't think that you're a mature Christian. Whatever you do, don't think it, because you're not. And don't say things that would lead you to think you are, or others to think that you are, a mature Christian. Don't encourage people to look at you and say, there's a mature Christian, if that's not a fact. We must lay down our lives. Peter had learned the hard way that he must lay down his life for his Lord. He was learning the latter part of his life on earth. He was still learning that he must lay down his life for Jesus. And we all should be in that position where we, loving Jesus Christ our Lord, should come to the place where we just give to him our lives, and our lives reveal to others the presence of Jesus and his glory, his honor, and the beauty of his holiness, the separation to him. Now that's where the abundant life lives, as it were, and it's yours. But you have to take it up, and you have to deal with it in your life. Have you done that? And if you haven't, will you? That's the challenge. Will you do it? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, bring us to that quiet place where we see the green pastures and the still waters, and where we can sit with you and see how you look after sheep, and you dig them out of their troubles, and you keep them in faith with you. Lord, bless them, bless those that hear this, and bless us all, that we may grow spiritually and give a good testimony to those that see us where we are. O gracious God and Father, please deliver us from evil and give us peace. For Jesus' sake, amen. Hey, thank you so much for listening. It's a joy to speak with you. Goodbye.